You made the expression that he went along with the name change and other things that he went along. I wonder if it was a situation that he had no control over, that you might find yourself in a circumstance over which we have no control. So he was given a name, as if, you know, we're going to call you this. He had no control over that. But when it came to what goes into his mouth, what he ate, to say, here is where I can draw the line. You can call me what you want, you can take me where you want, you can send me to whatever school you want. I have no control over that. But what goes into my mouth, what I eat, that I have control over, and that's where I take a stand.
I think that's the point, Brother West, that I am emphasizing, that you can do whatever you want to do with me. I know when it comes to what pleases God, I must take a stand. And that's what they were able to do. And so I think that certainly emphasizes it.
Also, Brother Dave, I think there is a very important... I think just to allow me, brother, the enemy comes in trying to change not just their names, not just their language, not just their food habits, but the enemy is trying to change that mindset which God had from the very beginning, a life of separation. Well, in the Jewish, as Brother John started to tell us, the law of God emphasized something to do and something clearly not to do. God draws the line. In Babylon, it's the opposite. Babylon would not suggest to take God completely out of the equation. They just replace that God with this God. So the least to say as an attempt is to confuse the people of God. And you know, the enemy successfully had created a generation of confused Christians nowadays, where everything goes. And this is the danger. The enemy would not come and tell you, do not pray. But you know, instead of praying, well, there is a 30, we'll come to this, I think, in the second or the third session. You just put it on hold for 30 days. Well, it's... Well, instead of praying in Hebrew, which is the language that you can read the law of God, well, we'll teach you a different language so you can change the way you pray. You can still pray. I'm not telling you not to pray, but so with this attempt, creating, and it's the same thing with the food, everything goes. Well, clean, unclean. Well, God said that. And now you are in a different place. Well, a confused Christian is a very vulnerable Christian that is very susceptible to the attacks of the enemy to come in and do whatever move him to the right and to the left. So may the Lord help us.
And the wonderful thing is that Daniel took a very clear stand. You know, we sing, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, you know. Though no one join me, still I will follow. He was prepared for that. But because he had that moral courage and he had that stamina, then when we come to verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee. Others had joined him. A wonderful thing if some young brother or some young sister here had the moral stamina, had the spiritual backbone to seek to live for God. It would attract others to join you and you would have fellowship in it. That's what we see here.
The question with food, and it's a good point that you make, Brother Andrew, because the impact, the testimony on others, that the temptation that faced Daniel and his friends was, there's the food laws according to the law of Jehovah, but we are now separated from Jerusalem. The temple, probably not yet destroyed, but would be. The whole system that they were brought up in was now gone. So the temptation, what is the problem with eating some Babylonian food? Mm-hmm. Right? That was connected with the priesthood, the temple, all that is gone now. We're in Babylon. And so this is the temptation. But what is the importance of the food? It's what we internalize. It's what we imbibe. That's the thing. And Babylon has its system. It wants to form us in a certain way. And to, you know, there's the saying, we become, you become what you eat. Or we are what we eat. You know, my cholesterol was going through the roof from all this traveling. You know, the saints will kill you with the fatted calf, right? And so, the doctor says, Brian, you got to get it down, man, or I'm going to have to put you on some pills, right? And so, Kim and I, we got together, we changed salads and all the stuff that doesn't taste good. My cholesterol went right back down again. You know, the guy in that documentary supersized me. You know, he only ate McDonald's for 2 months, nothing else. And then his kidneys started to fail in 3 months, right? We are what we eat, okay? And if we're taking in everything from Babylon, right, we're being formed into the Babylonian image. But that's the idea. What we imbibe, what are we taking in? The Word of God, by the Spirit of God, versus what Babylon would put on its table for us. That's really the lesson here.
I was wondering if we passed through the thought of without blemish, is that this is the point by which all of the youths that came out of Judah separate from Daniel and his companions. Because when they arrive at the thought of the food, a blemish is not something that you can see with your visible eye. It's really from the eye of God, it's inside. And the Lord is spoken of as one that had no blemish or no spot. The spot we could see on the skin. But here it is that when the food is taken inside and the violation of that which is going to touch them internally, the purity that I think was spoken of before, that now the purposing of Daniel's heart allows them to separate themselves as honoring God. And so the verse that was alluded to before in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, the verse before that says, continue thou in these things. So when they arrive at this as a collective body of young people that have come out without blemish, that were outstanding, that they're all in that same category. But now this test comes in terms of whether they're going to violate their bodies and bring a blemish against it internally, that here's Daniel and his companions, that they not only know the Word of God, but they're willing to continue in it. And I believe that therefore their faith then is seen in even the response of the eunuch that was over them. I think it was alluded that their faith energizes us. The Word of God, walking in it according to obedience, it gives us a certain energy in the face of the enemy. And so they stand before him presenting a better course for themselves. That better course, it's not from the ingenuity of the minds of these young people, it's from the very Word of God. And so it says in verse 14, and so he consented to them in this matter, and tested them 10 days. You see, this is what faith gets. And I think it's an important point for not just young people, but for all of us, that the things that we take in, when we stand according to the Word of God, the Spirit of God in our day, and Daniel and his companions, was remarkable about them. They did not have the indwelling Spirit. And yet there was a power that Jehovah gave them, a power that allowed them to be faithful, for which it was rewarded.